This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayigash, and we are going to focus our shir on chapter 45, verse number 27. But before we do that, we are going to give a quick synopsis of what is happening in the Parsha. In the Parsha, Yosef finally discloses himself to his brothers, and he tells the brothers that the famine is still going to last for another 5 years, and to go quickly and bring his father Yaakov to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. Pasuk number 26 says that the brothers came to Yaakov, Vayagidu lo lemor, and they told them, saying, Oid Yosef chai, Yosef is still alive, V'chi hu Moishel b'chol eres Mitzrayim, and that he is the ruler of the whole land of Egypt, Vayofek liboy, and his heart rejected it, Ki lo yamin lohem, because he did not believe them. Meaning that Yaakov Avinu did not believe that Yosef is alive and he is the ruler of Egypt. Then in Pasuk number 27, which is going to be the focus of our shir, says, Vaydabru Eilav, and they spoke to him, Eis kol divrei Yosef, all the words of Yosef, Asher dibar aleihem, that he spoke to them, Vayar es ha'agolois, and he saw the wagons, Asher sholach Yosef lases oisoi, that Yosef sent to take him, meaning to take Yaakov to Egypt, but chi ruach Yaakov aviem, the spirit of Yaakov became revived. Rashi explains that while Yosef was away, Yaakov Avinu was sad, and when you sad, you can get prophecy, but now that he believed that Yosef is alive, he became happy, and he again regained his ruach hakodesh, his spirit of prophecy. Vayomer Israel. Israel says, just a quick note, that here we see that once Yaakov regained prophecy, his name was changed from the low name Yaakov, which comes from the word hill, to the name Israel, which comes from the name Sar, a minister, meaning that he was uplifted by the prophecy that now he became Israel. The pasuk continues that Israel said, Rav, how great it is, Oid Yosef bni chai, my son Yosef is still alive, Elcho verenu beterem amus, I will go and see him before I die. Again, the pasuk says that the brothers told Yaakov that Yosef is still alive. He did not believe them, but then he saw the wagons that Yosef sent to take him to Egypt. Then Yaakov believed them, and his spirit became alive. Then we have to understand what changed by Yaakov seeing the agolos, the wagons, that it caused them to for sure know that Yosef is alive. In previous years, we gave different interpretations on this pasuk. This year, we'll continue to give other interpretations. But before we give the other interpretations, we'll again remember the Rashi, where Rashi says that agolois doesn't necessarily mean wagon. It means that Yosef wanted to send Yaakov a hint on what was the last thing that they learned together. And this last thing only he and Yaakov would know. By giving this hint, then Yaakov would for sure know that Yosef is alive, because nobody else would know what Yosef and Yaakov learned together. Therefore, the spirit of Yaakov became revived. Rashi explains that the hint was the parsha of Egle Arufa, the parsha of the decapitated cow, which is on Parsha Shoftim, chapter 21, verse number 1 to 9, where there the pasuk says that if you find a dead body and you don't know who the murderer was, then you do this procedure of taking a calf and decapitating it in front of the river, and the elders of the town have to come and declare that they didn't spill this blood. And this is the procedure of the decapitated cow, and this is the last thing that Yosef and Yaakov learned together. And since the word agolois, wagons, comes from the word egla, the calf, then by Yaakov seeing the wagons, Yaakov remembered the calf. Therefore, the spirit of Yaakov became revived. The Daz Akenim Baal Tosfos explains why is this the last thing that they learned together, and he explains that in Parshas Vayeshev, when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to go see his brothers. On chapter 37, verse number 14, it says, Vayishlacheyu me'emek Chevron, Vayishlacheyu me'emek Chevron, that Yaakov sent Yosef from the valley or the depths of Chevron. Every time the pasuk says Vayishlacheyu, and he sent them, means that he accompanied him. The Daza Kenim says that Yosef came to Yaakov and says that you don't have to come with me, I know the way by myself. Then Yaakov says, is it little the mitzvah of accompanying somebody? That the Torah wrote a whole portion of Egle Arufa because of the mitzvah of accompany, meaning that when the elders made a declaration that our hands did not spill the blood, would we ever think that the elders of the community will be the murderers of this person? Then why do they have to declare that they didn't spill the blood? This is actually the question of the Gemara in Soita Daf Mem Hei Omed Beis 45b. And the Gemara answers that they are declaring that they did not let him go without giving him food and without accompanying him. We see that when you accompany somebody, you afford protection to that somebody that you accompany. Therefore, Yaakov insisted in accompanying Yosef. And this is the last thing that Yaakov and Yosef learned together. And again, by showing him the wagons, which are from the word Egla, Yosef hinted to Yaakov the last thing they learned together. Therefore, the spirit of Yaakov became revived. Sefer Hekel Yitzchak of Spink gives an interesting twist on this idea of accompanying, and he explains that the Noam Elimelech explains that not always is accompanying a good thing, meaning accompanying somebody not always affords the person being accompanied protection. And the Noam Elimelech explains that only if the person that is accompanying you is a righteous person, then you'll be afforded protection because of the person accompanying you. But if the person that accompanies you is an evil person, then accompanying is not going to give you protection. The evil person accompanying you is going to cause you harm. That's how the Noam Elimelech explains why it was necessary in Parshas B'Shalach, Shmos, chapter 13, verse number 17, that after Paroi accompanied us, Hashem had to take us a different way. Because since Paroi is an evil person, him accompanying the Jewish people will only cause harm to the Jewish people. Therefore, Hashem took us the longer way and not the short way. Because Hashem wanted to avoid the accompanying of Paroi. Because it's written there, Vahi b'shalach Paroi, when Paroi sent the nation. Therefore, Paroi accompanied us. And once a Rasha accompanies you, that causes you harm instead of protection. Therefore, Hashem took us the other way in order for the accompanying not to take effect. Sefer Hekel Yitzchak says that Yaakov Avinu was sad because Yaakov Avinu thought all these years that Yosef was harmed, that Yosef was dead or something bad happened to Yosef. And if something bad happens to Yosef, then obviously him accompanying Yosef did not help to protect Yosef. If he didn't help to protect Yosef, it must mean that he is not a righteous person, because if he would be a righteous person, Yosef would be protected. Then Yaakov Avinu thought all these years that he is considered a sinner, and because he is considered a sinner, he is a Rasha, therefore Hashem did not protect Yosef a Tzadik. But now that Yaakov heard that Yosef is alive, and Yosef is the ruler of Egypt, and no harm came to him, then Yaakov realized that he is not a Rasha, that Yaakov is not an evil person, that Yosef was not harmed by Yaakov's accompanying, quite the opposite. Yosef survived, and Yosef now is the ruler of Egypt. Therefore, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyam, the spirit of Yaakov became revived, because now Yaakov realized that he is not a sinner. Up to this point, Yaakov thought that he's a sinner, and because he's a sinner, therefore Yosef wasn't protected. But now when Yaakov saw the wagons, and he remembered the parsha of Egle Arufa, that he accompanied Yosef, and he saw that his accompanying helped to protect Yosef even when Yosef was in Egypt, therefore the spirit of Yaakov became revived, because Yaakov really saw that he is a righteous person and not an evil person. The Satmar Rebbe in Divre Yoel, in the end of Parshas Mikates, brings this idea of the hint of the Egla Rufa, of the decapitated cow, completely in a different light, and he explains also a couple different questions that we have regarding Yosef. Yosef, first, when he meets the brothers, he says, Meraglim atem, you are spies. And through that, many commentaries there try to explain why Yosef was so hard on his brothers. But the Satmar Rebbe asks, true that he was entitled to be hard for whatever reason, but how was he entitled to lie to his brothers by accusing them of being spies when he clearly knew that they were not spies? And then he brings the Medrash Rabbah, which we mentioned last week, on the Pasuk on Bereishis, chapter 43, verse number 16, where Yosef tells to his household, Utvoach tevach v'hochein, you should slaughter an animal v'hochein and prepare, because the brothers are going to eat with Yosef. And the Medrash explains that ein v'hochein elo meyoim lechaverto, that v'hochein and prepare means only from one day to the other, as we see in Parshas Aman, in the end of B'shalach, Shemos, chapter 16, verse number 5, that the man did not fall on Shabbos. It's written there, V'hoyo b'yom ha'shishi, it will be on the sixth day, meaning Friday, v'hichinu, and they should prepare, meaning they should prepare the food for the next day. So you see that preparing means from one day to the next, and it's not proper for a king to prepare food from one day to the next, because a king always eats fresh food. Then Yosef prepared for Shabbos because Yosef kept Shabbos. So the Medrash brings proof that Yosef kept Shabbos before it was given. And the same Medrash is actually written in Medrash Rabbah Parshas Nosoi, Perek Yudalot Beis, where the Medrash there says, on the Pasuk Bayom HaShvi, in the seventh day of the inauguration of the tabernacle, Nosi Livnei Ephraim, the children of Ephraim brought the sacrifice. And we know that the days of the inauguration of the tabernacle started on Sunday, meaning the one who brought the first day brought on a Sunday. Therefore, the seventh day was Shabbos. The Medrash brings that Hashem said to Yosef HaTzadik, you kept Shabbos before it was given, as it's written, Utvoach tevach v'hochein. Therefore, I will make sure that your great-grandson Ephraim is going to bring the sacrifice of the inauguration of the tabernacle on Shabbos, meaning that Yosef got a reward for keeping Shabbos, that his great-grandson Ephraim is the only one that will bring a private sacrifice on Shabbos. The Satmar Rebbe asks a question, why did Yosef get a special reward for keeping Shabbos when we know that all our forefathers kept the Torah before it was given? And they definitely kept Shabbos. Regarding Avraham Avinu, it's clearly written on the Pasuk in Parshas Toldos, chapter 25, verse number 5, Ekev asher shama Avraham bekoili, because Avraham Avinu listened to my voice, v'ishma mishmarti, and saved my safeguards, mitzvoisai, my commandments, chukoisai, my decrees, v'seroisai, and my Torahs. And there, Rashi brings down that he kept Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh, the written law and the oral law. And Rashi also brings down from the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Chof Aleph Omed Aleph 21a, that V'ishmer Mishmarti, and he kept my safeguards, that Rav Avinu even kept the rabbinic laws. And Rashi specifically mentions Shvus LeShabbos, the rabbinic laws regarding Shabbos. And obviously, he gave this over to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak to Yaakov, and Yaakov gave over to the tribes. Then we know clearly that our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Shvatim, kept Torah before it was given. Then obviously they must have kept Shabbos. And if they kept Shabbos, then why is Yosef singled out that Yosef gets a reward for keeping Shabbos? If all brothers kept Shabbos, then why would Hashem single out specifically Yosef to get a reward for keeping Shabbos? And then he asks that the reward seems to be exactly the opposite of what Yosef did. Meaning, Yosef kept Shabbos before it was given. He kept the holiness of Shabbos. Therefore, his great-grandson Ephraim is going to merit that he is going to transgress Shabbos. Meaning, that Ephraim is the only one that is ever going to bring a private sacrifice on Shabbos. A single person bringing a private sacrifice on Shabbos, that is normally considered a transgression. Then how is this a reward in kind for Yosef keeping Shabbos, if you're making because he kept Shabbos that his great-grandson Ephraim is going to be the one that is going to transgress Shabbos by bringing a private sacrifice? What is the midah keneged midah, the measure for measure, that the Medrash mentions that Yosef HaTzadik got, that usually Hashem rewards you in the same kind of what you did, and here Yosef kept Shabbos before it was given, therefore Hashem is giving him a reward that his great-grandson Ephraim is going to transgress Shabbos. How do we understand the connection between Ephraim's sacrifice on Shabbos to the fact that Yosef kept Shabbos before it was given? Then the Satmar Rebbe brings the Shilta Giboirim, which is a parish on the Mordechai in the second perik on Shabbos, where he says that he heard that in the pasuk Utvoach Tevach Vahochein, that Yosef told the people in his house to slaughter animal and prepare, that is alluding to Chanukah, because the last letter of the word Tevach and the letters of Vahochein comprise the letters of Chanukah. And Utvoach Tav, the remaining letters, are numeric value 36, which means to say that 36 Chanukah, which that verse alludes to the meals that you have to make on Chanukah. And he says, I understand that you want to allude that you have to make meals on Chanukah, but why specifically you allude to in the same place where the Medrash Rabbah says that Yosef kept Shabbos before it was given? There are many psukim that the Torah could allude to the idea of Chanukah and the idea of making a meals on Chanukah. Why specifically did the Torah choose to allude to this point of making Chanukah on the pasuk that you have to slaughter and prepare, where the Medrash uses the same pasuk to teach us that Yosef kept Shabbos before it was given? The Satmar Rebbe starts answering all these questions based on the Yitav Leif on Parshas Devarim. There, the Yitav Leif asks a question regarding the spies that is written there, Va'itav be'enei adavar, that Moshe Rabbeinu found good in his eye to send spies. The question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu find good in his eyes to send spies? What was the purpose that Moshe Rabbeinu envisioned that the spies would have? And Yitav Leif explains that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that if you are coming to a land that is totally contaminated, totally devoid of kedusha, of holiness, totally corrupt, you are required to do something in order to prepare and make ready the land that the Jewish people will be able to live in that. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that if he sends a delegation of the leaders of the Jewish people, leaders of the tribes, and they will walk over the land and they will pray on that land, that that itself will cause that the Jewish people eventually will be able to settle the land and they won't be influenced by the corruption and the contamination that the Canaanites left in the land. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's intention, and his mistake was that he sent the wrong people to do the job, that he sent people that had other thoughts regarding that job. And Satmar Rebbe explains that based on this Yitav Leif, based on this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send somebody to purify the land, to make this land ready for the Jewish people, then we understand what Yosef here said to the brothers. We assume that Yosef accused the brothers of Meraglim Atem, that you are spies. And we ask, how can Yosef lie? I understand that he wants to hurt the brothers, but how can he lie? And the answer is that Yosef HaTzadik did not lie. He was telling them Meraglim Atem, that your purpose is the same purpose as the spies. In the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make Hazmana, a preparation for the Jewish people to settle the land. He wanted to make the land ready in order that the Jewish people will be able to settle the land in the future. So too, Yosef told his brothers that you are coming now to Egypt in order to make ready the land of Egypt, that the Jewish people will be able to survive there. That without the brothers coming first to Egypt, it's impossible for the Jewish people to be able to survive later on. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik was telling the Meraglim Atem that your purpose is the same purpose as the Meraglim. The brothers misunderstood and thought that Yosef HaTzadik is accusing them. But Yosef HaTzadik never said a lie, because by him saying Meraglim Atem was not accusing them of being spies. Yosef HaTzadik was telling them that your purpose is the same purpose that eventually is going to be for the spies to do. True that the spies didn't do the job, but nonetheless, Yosef's intention was that Meraglim Atem, that your purpose is the same purpose as the spies, which means to prepare this land that the Jewish people be able to live here and not be totally corrupted. The Satmar Rebbe says that based on this Yitav Lev, we see that Yosef's theory was that you require to make Hazmona a preparation before things happen. Meaning that Yosef wanted to prepare the land of Egypt before the Jewish people are enslaved, in order for them to withstand the contamination, the corruption of the Egyptian people, of the Egyptian land. Therefore, Yosef believed that you require to make a preparation, in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to send the spies in order to make a preparation for Eretz Yisrael, that the Jewish people should be able to take Eretz Yisrael and stay there. In the same way, Yosef believed that you require to make this preparation for the land of Egypt. And Yosef was consistent with his idea, meaning that he believed that you require to have a hazmona for everything. Therefore, true that all the Shvatim, all the tribes kept Shabbos, but only Yosef made hazmona for Shabbos, a preparation for Shabbos, because Yosef on Friday slaughtered an animal, lekavod Shabbos, in honor of Shabbos. True that all the Shvatim kept Shabbos, but Yosef is the only one that did something during the week in order to sanctify Shabbos in a better way. And this is the interpretation of the Medrash in Parshas Nosoi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you, Yosef HaTzadik, kept Shabbos before it was given. It doesn't mean that you kept Shabbos before the mitzvah of Shabbos was given in the Torah. It means that you kept Shabbos on Friday before Shabbos came in, before Shabbos became effective, meaning that you did something on Friday to sanctify Shabbos, because you held that you require to prepare. Therefore, you prepare on Friday for Shabbos, and you are the only one who did that. True that all the other tribes did that, and your forefathers also kept Shabbos, but you are the only one that made a preparation for the Shabbos. Therefore, as a reward, I'll allow your great-grandchild Ephraim to make a preparation for the Shabbos for all the Shabboses of the world. Meaning that since he is going to bring a private sacrifice on Shabbos, that private sacrifice is going to become a preparation for all the Shabboses of the world when we bring sacrifice. That sacrifice is a direct result of your preparation for the Shabbos. So too, Ephraim's sacrifice is going to prepare the Mishkan for all the Shabboses. And therefore, continues the Divrei Yoel, that specifically in this pasuk where it's mentioned that Yosef made hazmona for Shabbos, in the same pasuk it's alluded to by the Shulta Giborim, the hazmona for the coming of the Moshiach and the future Beis Hamikdash. Because as Mefarshim explained, Chanukah comes from the word chinuch, preparation, as when you have to mechanach your children, you have to prepare your children to do mitzvahs, which means that you're preparing for the future, you're making hazmona for the future when Moshiach is going to come and use the light of Chanukah. Therefore, in that pasuk where Yosef makes a preparation for Shabbos, it's alluded also the idea of Chanukah. And Satmar Rebbe says, if the idea of Yosef being in the land of Egypt is to make hazmona, a preparation, there is a rule that ein adam mazmin davar shene shaloi, the person cannot make hazmona for something that is not his. Therefore, it was necessary that Yosef should become a ruler over Egypt. Because if Yosef is not a ruler over Egypt, he cannot prepare the land of Egypt for the Jewish people. Therefore, It wasn't enough that Paroi makes Yosef a minister of agriculture. Hashem made Paroi make Yosef a ruler over Egypt, because then technically Egypt belongs to Yosef, and then the preparation helps. But if Egypt would not belong to Yosef, then we have a rule, Ein Adam Mazmin Davar She'eino Shaloi. The person cannot prepare something that is not his, meaning the preparation doesn't work for you on somebody else's property. Therefore, it was incumbent that Yosef becomes the ruler of Egypt, because only then Yosef could fulfill his mission, which is prepare Egypt for the Jewish people. And Satmar Rebbe says that this is exactly the message that Yosef HaTzadik sent to his father Yaakov by sending him the agolos, the wagons, which Rashi says he was hinting to the Egla Rufa, to the decapitated cow. Meaning that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin Omed Beis 47b says, Itmar we learned, Ha'oirek beged lemeis, if somebody weaves shrouds for a dead person. If a dead person already wears the shrouds, those shrouds are osir banoa, you can't have benefit from those shrouds. But if somebody weaves the shrouds for a dead person, and the dead person did not wear the shrouds yet, Abaye Omar Abaye says, osur nonetheless, just the fact that you weaved it for a dead person, it becomes prohibited, because hazmona milsi, the fact that you prepare something, that is considered as you have done it, and therefore the fact that you are preparing the shrouds with you as the shrouds are on top of the dead person, and therefore it's asur be'anoa. Rava Omar Mutar, Rava says it's allowed to use it, because hazmona lav milsei, because preparation is not considered as you have done it, meaning for the mere fact that you are preparing something does not make the thing prohibited, the shrouds prohibited. The Gemara says, my tamad Abaye, why does Abaye hold that just preparing it, it's tantamount of the dead person already wearing it? In other words, it's significant enough that we consider as you'd have worn it already. The Gemara says, he learns Shom Shom Me'egla Rufa. He learns Agzere Shove from the words Shom to Egla Rufa, meaning that we find in two places the words Shom, regarding the death of Miriam in Bamidbar, chapter 20, verse number 1, it's written that Thomas Shom Miriam, that Miriam died there. We see there is one Shom mentioned regarding death, and then it's written by the decapitated calf in Dvarim, chapter 21, verse number 4, Ve'orfu Shom Eso Egla, that they should decapitate the calf there. In the same way, regarding the decapitated calf, when we just bring the calf to the river, automatically that calf becomes prohibited from having benefit even before we decapitate. So too, regarding the shrouds, regarding something for the dead person, it becomes prohibited before we even put it on that person. Because we see that regarding the Egla Rufa, the Hazmona, the preparation of the calf already is significant enough that it caused the calf to become prohibited to have benefit from. So too, regarding the shrouds, the preparation of the shrouds is significant enough that we view it as it's on top of the dead person, and therefore it's already prohibited to have benefit from. And the Gemara explains that Rava doesn't like this comparison, because by the Egla Arufa, by the decapitated calf, the preparation is in the calf itself, and here the preparation is in something that is going to go to the dead person, not in the dead person itself. When you do the preparation in the thing itself, then it could become prohibited to have benefit from, but you prepare something for the dead person, maybe it does not become prohibited to have benefit from. But nonetheless, everybody, Abaye and Rava, agree that regarding the Egla Arufa, regarding the decapitated calf, the preparation of the calf itself causes it to become prohibited, even though we are not going to decapitate it. Meaning that before we decapitate, you can't have benefit from the calf anymore, because the preparation is significant. So we see from this Gemara that the main source that we have to show that preparation is significant is the case of Egle Arufa of the decapitated calf. That, says the Satmar Rebbe, is the hint that Yosef HaTzadik was telling to his father. Yosef HaTzadik was trying to explain to his father why Hashem would make it that he should be enslaved and he should have to go to Egypt. Therefore, Yosef HaTzadik sent his father the wagons, and as Rashi explains, the wagons rigning signify the Egle Arufa, the decapitated calf, but the message is not that this was the last thing that they learned together. The message was that this, what the decapitated calf does, is exactly why Yosef is in Egypt. Meaning that Yosef is in Egypt in order to make Hazmana, in order to make a preparation for the Jewish people to come down. That was the message that Yosef sent to his father. Not that the last thing they learned was the parsha of Egle Arufa, the parsha of the decapitated calf. He was hinting to his father, the lesson we learn from the decapitated calf, we learn from the decapitated calf that just preparing it is significant. So too, Yosef was in Egypt and he asked his father to come down because Yosef wanted to tell his father that they need to prepare the land of Egypt, because since the Jewish people are going to be enslaved in Egypt, their preparation is significant. That will help the Jewish people survive this corrupt and contaminated place of Egypt, and therefore his father has to come down to Egypt. Satmar Rebbe continues and says that according to this, we could explain a Medrash Peliyah, a perplexing Medrash on this pasuk, Vayares Vagolois, that Yaakov Avinu saw the wagons. The Medrash says, Kishiro Yaakov es Vagolois, when Yaakov Avinu saw the wagons that Yosef sent, Omar, he said, Achshov ani yodeya, now I know for sure, Shaloichoto Yosef be'eshes Potifar, that Yosef did not sin if Eshes Potifar, if the wife of Potifar. Meaning that in the end of Parshas Vayeshev, we have the story how the wife of Potiphar tried to seduce Yosef, and Yosef was able to control himself and he ran away. Yaakov, by looking at the wagons, could tell for sure that Yosef HaTzadik did not sin with Eshes Potiphar, with the wife of Potiphar. And the Mefarshim ask, how do you understand this just by looking at the wagons? What did the wagons tell Yaakov that Yaakov knew for sure that Yosef did not sin with the wife of Potiphar? And according to what Satmar Rebbe just said, he explains that we understand this medrash very well, because the whole reason that Yosef sent the wagons to his father is because Yosef wanted to tell his father that Hashem made all these things happen because of the Egle Arufa, because of the decapitated calf, because Yosef is required to prepare the land of Israel for the Jewish people. That could only be true if Yosef did not sin, because Yosef was required to curb himself for immorality. Therefore, all the Jewish people were able to curb themselves in immorality when they were in Egypt. But if Yosef would have transgressed the sin of immorality, he couldn't be the vehicle to prepare Egypt to the Jewish people. Therefore, by Yosef sending the agolois, the wagons, which we just explained alludes to the decapitated calf, and the decapitated calf alludes to the idea of Hazmona Milsa, that you preparing is significant, then Yaakov Avinu knew for sure that Yosef did not sin, because if Yosef would have sinned, he could not have prepared Egypt for the Jewish people. And the fact that Yosef is telling Yaakov that the reason he is in Egypt is to prepare Egypt for the Jewish people, obviously it clearly meant that he did not sin. The Gera Rebbe in Beis Yisrael brings a simple idea, what was the hint that Yosef was giving to his father regarding the Egle Arufa, and he says that the hint was that in the same way, by the story of Egle Arufa, by the decapitated calf, that the decapitated calf is brought because we don't know who the murderer is, meaning that we find a body and we don't know who killed this person. We have to follow the procedure of Egle Arufa. So too, Yosef was trying to tell his father that he shouldn't blame his 10 brothers because he doesn't know really who was responsible for what happened to him. Meaning that Yosef HaTzadik was trying to tell Yaakov Avinu that he shouldn't hold his brothers accountable for what happened to him, because he really doesn't know who did that to him. And that's why, after Yaakov Avinu saw the Agolois, the idea of Egla Rufa, then Vatchiruach Yaakov Aviem, that Yaakov's spirit became alive. Because up to that point, Yaakov thought that the brothers hated Yosef, and the Sinas Chinam is going to cause the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jewish people. But now that Yosef HaTzadik was telling him that his brothers are to be held blameless because he doesn't know who did this to him, in the same way that by Egla Rufa we don't know who the murderer is, then Yaakov understood that there is love between the brothers, and if there is love between the brothers, then Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviem, the spirit of Yaakov, became revived. The Daz Akenyon Baal Toises on that pasuk, after he brings the idea that we mentioned from Rashi, that the Agolos means the decapitated calf, argues with that opinion and says that this is really not the meaning of the word Agolos. Agolos normally is meant by seeing the wagons. And therefore the Daz Akenyon Baal Toises says that it really refers to wagons, and he says that refers to the wagons of the Mishkan, which is written on Parshas Nasoi, that the Nesim brought wagons to the Mishkan. But we are going to try to give different interpretations on the simple idea that he saw the wagons and what was the idea behind the wagons. First, we are going to bring the simple idea brought down by the Shem Ishmul, where the Shem Ishmul says that Yosef was hinting to his father by the wagons, means by the wheels of the wagons. Whenever you have a wheel, the up part goes down and then it goes back up. And that is the hint that Yosef was telling his father, that it was necessary for him to be able to go down in order for him to be able to go up. And the same idea is going to be necessary for the Jewish people to be enslaved, to go down, in order for them to come out afterwards and receive Rechush Gadol, and receive the huge wealth, which means the Torah, because without going down, you won't be able to go up. And that was the hint that Yosef gave to Yaakov. Therefore, Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviem, the spirit of Yaakov became revived, because he realized what the purpose of going down to Egypt was going to be. Sefer Beis Asher asks a question on Pasuk number 26. Pasuk number 26 says, Vayagidu lo Eleimer, that the brothers told Yaakov, saying, Oid Yosef Chai, that Yosef is still alive, V'chi hu Moishel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and that he is the ruler over all the land of Egypt, Vayofog Liboy, and his heart rejected it, Kiloy Hamin Lohem, because he did not believe them. He asks a question, why is it written in the Pasuk, V'chi hu Moishel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and that he is the ruler of all the land of Egypt? He should have just said, V'agidu lo Eleimer, Oid Yosef Chai. They told him that Yosef is still alive, Umoishol b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and he's the ruler over the whole land of Egypt. What does it mean, V'chi hu Moishol b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and that he is the ruler over all the land of Egypt? The words V'chi hu are superfluous. Why did the Torah write those words, and what is hinted by those words? And he answers based on the pasuk in the end of Parshas Beshalach, in Shmos chapter 17, verse number 16. There we have the pasuk where we have a war against Amalek, and then the pasuk says, Vayomer, and Hashem said, Ki yad al keis ko, for the hands is on the throne of Hashem, Milchomol Hashem ba'Amalek midor dor, Hashem has a war of Amalek from generations to generations. Meaning, while Amalek exists, Hashem's throne is not complete, and therefore it's written case without the Aleph in the end, which means kisei, the throne, because the throne is not complete. And also, the name of Hashem, what's written in the pasuk, is Ka Yud K, not the full name of Hashem, which is Yud K Vav K, which signifies also that while Amalek exists, the name of Hashem is not complete. The name of Hashem is going to be complete when Amalek is going to be eradicated, and that will be basically in the time of Moshiach, in the time of the full redemption. Then we'll have a complete eradication of what Amalek signifies. Then comes out that the letters missing until the time of Moshiach are the letters Aleph from the word kisei, throne, which is normally spelled kof samach aleph, and here is spelled only kof samach. And then we have the vav hey, which is from the name of Hashem, which here is written yud kei, but the name of Hashem is normally yud kei vav kei. That name will become complete in the time of Mashiach. So we have the vav hey and the aleph. If you put the vav hey and the aleph, that makes the word hu. Sefer Beis Osher explains that this is exactly what the brothers are trying to tell Yaakov. The brothers tell Yaakov that Oid Yosef Chai, that Yosef is still alive, v'chi hu Moishel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, that Yosef, while he is in Egypt, is still working on the vav, hey, and the aleph that is missing in the throne of Hashem, that he is controlling the vav, hey, and the aleph in the land of Egypt. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu could not believe that Yosef is in such a high level that he is trying to get the vav and the hey and the aleph restored to the name of Hashem. And that's why it's not written Umoishel be'eretz Mitzrayim, that he is the ruler of Egypt, because they were giving him a deeper message. They were giving a message that he is ruling over the hu, over the hey, over the vav, and over the aleph. I wanted to say that based on this idea, we could understand this Zohar. The Zohar explains that Vayare saw Agolos, that he saw the wagons that Yosef sent, he brings Ba'agolo uvizman korif, meaning that we say in the Kaddish, Ba'agolo uvizman korif v'imru amen, which means swiftly and soon, and respond amen, and afterwards we say, Yehei shmei rabba mevorach l'olam l'olam elmayo, may Hashem's great name be blessed forever and ever, meaning that we want Hashem's name to be complete soon and swiftly in our days. And according to what we just mentioned, we could understand what the connection is. That since the brothers were telling Yaakov that Yosef was involved in getting the name of Hashem complete, that he was working in the coming of Mashiach, making it ready for Mashiach to come, because Mashiach will only come when the name of Hashem is complete and the throne is complete, when the Hu, the Hev of Aleph is complete. Therefore, Yosef sent to his father the wagons which signify Ba'agolo uvizman korif, that swiftly and soon, meaning that he wanted that Moshiach should come swiftly and soon. Once Yaakov saw that Yosef is really working on this idea of getting Hashem's name complete and getting the throne of Hashem in the proper way, then Vatchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyam, then the spirit of Yaakov became revived. Meaning, when the brothers said that Yosef is working on the Hev of Aleph, then Yaakov did not believe them. Because how is it possible that Yosef is in Egypt and is still dealing with things in a very high and lofty level? But when Yaakov himself saw that Yosef sent agolos, he sent wagons, and he sent the wagons to hint that Ba'agolo vizman korif, that he is trying to work swiftly and soon to get Hashem's name complete, as it's written in the Kaddish, then the spirit of Yaakov became revived. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should have Hashem's name complete soon in our days. Moshiach should come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuild, b'imheiro b'yomeinu, amen.